Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Be'ah Daf Yud Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the very top of Daf Yud Aleph. Before we begin the actual Gemara, let us glance at the side where we have a Nosei Mivneh heading, a topic heading, and structural note combined. We are continuing with the topic of preparing birds for Yom Tov use. And on the side, we've written, Zimein Besoch HaKein U'motzel Lifnei HaKein. If a person prepared birds for Yom Tov use, for slaughtering on Yom Tov, and he had prepared them inside, birds that were inside the coop, and he found them in front of the coop. Asurim, they are forbidden. In other words, these are assumed to be birds other than those that I had prepared. So they're not the ones I prepared. And for Yom Tov use, you have to have the item designated beforehand. Our note continues, HaGemara Mechadeshes, B'mikrim HaMesumonim, with a diamond, in the cases that you'll see highlighted in the markings with a diamond, Shiesh Lachshoish Afilu L'mikre, you have to take into consideration even a situation, shahagozolos ya'alu mikoimo nemucha lekoimo gavoa, that the birds will scamper from a lower level of the bird coop to a higher level of the bird coop, which is something unusual. Generally speaking, the movement of birds is downwards, not upwards. So we will see a case like that in the Gemara. The double underlining is used to highlight the expressions velo mibaya, you know, which means I don't have to tell you this case, which is obvious, and then the word afilu, but even this second case, which is less obvious, we will be telling you. Now we turn to the Gemara. Zimein. We said, Besoch HaKein, U'motza Lifnei HaKein. He prepared birds inside a bird coop, designated them as the birds he was going to use for Yom Tov, and he found them on Yom Tov day in front of the bird coop. So he did the preparation, the designation from before Yom Tov, and found birds in front of the coop on Yom Tov. Asurim, we say they are forbidden. And we don't say that these are the birds that he had prepared from inside the bird coop and now went outside. So now, with this in mind, we continue with another marking that we have seen already, is where the Gemara attempts, we saw this in the past and we see it here, to bring support to Rabbi Hanina's rule, which it has very broad applications that, well, let's read on in the Gemara. Lemo Maseya Leilor Bichinu. Can we say that our Mishnah supports Rabbi Hanino's teaching? The Omer Rabbi Hanino, Roiv Vekoroiv, Haloich Achar Haroiv. When you have a doubt, and in order to decide the doubt, you have two competing factors. One is Roiv, the majority, versus Korov, proximity. Haloch acharo, follow the majority. Now, how would that apply over here? So, in terms of, we have a doubt. The birds that you find in front of the bird coop, where are they from? Are they from within, which is korov? That's very close, simply to hop from within the bird coop to right in front of it. That's, if I were to solve a doubt based on korov, on proximity, so the birds in front of the coop are the birds that I had prepared, and they simply came from within the coop to now standing in front of it. On the other hand, maybe the birds that are in front of the coop outside and in front of the coop are from the world, from outside, the outside bird population, which obviously is the majority of birds. And now we're telling you that the birds that you find on Yom Tov Day are usur, they are not viewed as having come from within the bird coop. So I'm determining my doubt based on the rove, the majority. So here we have a Tanaic source that would support Rabbi Hanina's teaching. The Gemara is not quick to conclude thusly. Omar Abaye, Bedaf. Abaye says we're talking about the case of the daf. And we have mentioned the daf in the past. This is a type of it's a plank or a perch that is in front of the bird coop, so that birds from the vast world settle on the perch. So they are also korov. Everyone is korov now, so that korov to the inside are the perch is obviously close to the inside, but it's also a place that birds from outside settle on. So it may be those birds that I find there on Yom Tov Day. The Rashi says, Bedaf, Dekulhu, Korov, Ninhu. They're all close. Hilkoch, Haloch, Achar, Horov, Deikotarti. Now, they're all close to the inside. The perch is close to the inside, and the birds that, and the inside itself is close to the perch. So, being that those that, as far as Korov is concerned, I can't settle the matter based on Korov, I then rely on the rove to settle the matter. And rove birds are not those that I prepared. Rava, Omar, and we have here a long marking indicating Rava's statement is going to take a few lines. So Rava says, Bishnei kinim zu lamala mizu askinon. We are talking about a case of a two-story bird coop. The Rashi on the side, Rashi says, Rava Omar ha lo itzdurich la'ashminan. That Abaye teaches doesn't have to be taught. That's obvious. Elo b'shnei kinim zu l'mala mizu. We're talking about a two-story bird coop. U'b'shneihem gozolos, and in both of them are little birds. V'zimein es shebezu v'lo zimein es shebezu. And he had prepared the birds in one of the levels and not in the other. L'machar ba v'lo masa b'soch hakein shezimein. And the next day he does not find the birds within the coop that he had designated. Elo l'fonov. Rather, he finds birds in front of the one that he designated. U'ba'osei shelo zimein. And the bird coop that he had not prepared, the level that he had not prepared, lo motzolo, lo fono velo lo soho. He finds no birds, not within nor in front of it. So you have a bird coop that a level that he had prepared its contents, its bird population, a level that he did not prepare. And with regard to the level that he did prepare, it was vacant, but in front of it were birds. The other compartment that he had not prepared at all, there are no birds not in front of it nor inside it. Hilkoch, Asiri, Rashi continues. Therefore, the birds that I find in front of the bird coop that I had prepared, they are usur. Velomi shum chashosh adiyani d'amo. And not because of a consideration that they came from the general world bird population. Elo, me'achar shel omotzon b'makoimon. Simply because you did not find the birds that you prepared in their spot. V'oid shebekein ho'achir hamukze, the other bird coop, the other level that you hadn't prepared at all, lo motzakum, he didn't find any birds. So therefore, yesh lachush, you have to consider shemo elu shemotze lefnei akein ha-muchan, the birds that you find in front of the designated bird coop, lo mitoicho yotsu, they didn't come from within, elo mitoch ha-mukze, they came from the unprepared bird coop, the other one, the mukze bird coop. So far, so good. We continue now in the Gemara. So we are continuing with the two-level bird coop description, as we said. And the Gemara continues, V'lo mibaya, I don't have to tell you this case, this is obviously usur, zimein betachtona, v'lo zimein be'elyona. He had prepared lower birds, and not upper ones, umotza betachtona, v'lo motza be'elyona, and he finds in the bottom one, and does not find any birds in the upper one. De'asiron, And according to Rashi, when the Gemara says here the umotza batachtona, we just have to mention he finds it in front of where he had prepared them inside. He finds birds in front of the tachtona, and he finds nothing in the elyona, the asiron, the ones that are in front of the lower one. They are also. And why? The Amrinon, we say, Hanoch Azlu Le'alma, the ones that he had prepared fluttered away. V'Hanoch Ishtarbuve Ishtarbuv V'Nochus. V'Hanoch means the upper ones that were originally in the upper coop that he had not prepared, they scampered down. Ishtarbuvi is to lower down the nochus and descend and settle in front of the lower bird coop. So they're also because of muktzah, because he didn't prepare them at all. So that case is obvious, where the suspicion is very great that they came from the upper ones that he had not prepared. Elo afilu, but even this case, zimein bel yoyna velo zimein betachtona. He prepared birds in the upper level. He did not prepare the birds in the lower level. Ubo umotso be'elyona, and he finds birds in the upper one. And again, be'elyona means in front of it. He prepared birds inside. He finds now birds in front of the upper one. There's some kind of perch or board that extends from the upper one, and that's where he finds birds. Velo umotso betachtona, and he finds the bottom one vacant. So hanoch nami asiri, the ones that are now in front of the upper one are usser. The Amrinon, we say, Hanoch Azlu La'amo, the ones that he had prepared fluttered away. And again, the ones that he had prepared in the upper one fluttered away. V'Hanoch, the ones that are in front of the Elyon, and now Sruchi Sarach Vasliku, they had scampered upwards to where they are. We continue with another quote from the Mishnah. V'im ein shom elo hein, harei elu mutarin. If there are no other birds from yesterday in the vicinity of the birds that I had prepared, so I prepared birds inside a coop, and I find birds in front of the coop, and yesterday, Erev Yom Tov, there were no other birds in the vicinity, so these are mutter. And now as we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice a marking, a triangle. On the side, we have highlighted this. Under the Mivneh heading, it says, these are Gimel Shlavim, these are three stages, Lahazbir Alma Midubar, to explain what are we talking about over here. Hey Chidomi, we continue in the Gemara. What are the circumstances of the Mishnah that describes there were no other birds in the vicinity? If you're dealing with birds that are adult and they're capable of flying, so Iko Lameimar, there's still room to be stringent and not allow the birds that you found. After all, you didn't find them where you prepared them. There's still room to say, Hanoch Azlu La'alma, the ones that you had prepared inside the coop fluttered away, they flew away, Vahani Achrini Ninu, and the ones that I find in front of it are now others, they're not the ones I prepared. Ela Be'midodin. So we're talking about young birds, that they are not flying capable, they waddle. I deiko king besoch chamishim amo. If there is another bird coop within 50 amos, adaduye adadu. So the ones that I find in front of this bird coop might have come from the other one within 50 amos of here. Vidaleko king besoch chamishim amo. And if there is no other bird coop within 50 amos, pshita demutorin. It's obvious that the ones that I find in front of the coop that I had prepared birds within, the ones I find in front are allowed. The Omar Mar Ukfo Bar Chamo, Mar Ukfo teaches, Kol HaMedodo, all birds that are only capable of waddling, Ein Medodo Yoiser Mechamishim Amos. They don't waddle more than 50 Amos. And there is no other bird coop within 50 Amos, so these are obviously mutter. Elo, rather, Li Oilom Diiko came to Sochamishim Amos. If you take a tape measure, you will find there is another bird coop within 50 amos. Well, if that's the case, then why are the ones that I find in front of the bird coop I had designated, why are they mutter? Why are they allowed? Kegoin, the kaimo bekeren zovis. The other bird coop is around the corner. And if you glance in your Rashi, there's an aerial view, so you're looking down at the top of a house, and there are bird coops that are highlighted with the expression kain, and zovis means a corner. So there is no visual contact between these bird coops. But as we said, if you take a tape measure, they are within 50 amos of one another. And that's what the Gemara says. Keren zavas is a corner. Mahu detemo adaduya adadu. Without the Mishnah, I would have thought that they could waddle around the corner. So that the ones I find in front of the cane I designated are not the ones that were from within that cane. They waddled from the other one. Kamash Malon, the Mishnah teaches us the following. Kolhecha de medoda vehodar chazi lekine, medoda. As long as a bird will waddle, but its home is within eyesight, it will waddle up to 50 amas. Ve'ilo, if it would lose eye contact, it won't lo medoda, it won't waddle, out of eye contact from its point of origin. Therefore, since in order to get to the bird coop that I had designated to come from the other bird coop to here, it would have lost eye contact with its point of origin. Therefore, they would not have come to this point. Therefore, in this case, when you're dealing with waddling birds, non-flyers, then they are mutter. Beis Shammai Omrim. We continue with the Mishnah. And here we're talking about the Ali. This is an item we had mentioned in one of our previous shiurim. Is part of the list of items that were being moved around. Where in the sugya of dealing, we're dealing with Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, who is Mekil and who is Machmir in Simchas Yom Tov. So this is the Mishnah at its source now. So Beis Shammai Omrim Ein Notlin Es Ho'ali L'Katsi V'Lov Bosar U'Beis Hillel Matirin. Beis Shammai says you're not allowed to carry an Ali. An Ali is a chopping board designated for chopping grains, crushing grains, and that is a Kli Shemlachto L'Isser, a vessel whose design purpose is for non-allowed Shabbos Yom Tov activities. And the issue is, can I move it around this chopping board for meat chopping? Beis Shammai says no, and Beis Hillel says you are allowed. Beis Shammai Omrim, Ein Noisim Es Ha'or Lifnei Hadorson. You're not allowed to take the skin from a freshly slaughtered animal and put it in front of where people will trample it. Dorson is to trample it. The trampling helps to preserve the skin. The skins that I removed from the animal in anticipation of it being tanned and made into leather. So you're not allowed to move the skins around to put it in a place where people will trample it. Velo yagbienu, and you're not allowed to pick it up, the skins. Elo in ken yesh imo kazayas bosar, unless there is an olive quantity of meat still attached to the skin. Beis Hillel matirin, and Beis Hillel says it is mutter. And we have already discussed this in the past, what the basis of that machlokas is. And the Gemara will again deal with the movement of it, but from a different angle later. The Gemara, Tana, Vishovin, there is agreement, Shim Kotsav, Olav, Bosar, She'osur Letatalo. We're referring to the Ali. If they used the Ali already for chopping meat, so then even Beis Hillel will agree that you're not allowed to move it anymore. Omar Abaye. It's obvious why it's not allowed, because the Yom Tov purpose has already been fulfilled, so there's no more Yom Tov need for moving it. Abaye says, Machlokes Ba'ali, the Machlokes in the Gemara concerns the Ali, the grain chopping board. Avol betavro garmi, a tavro garmi, garmi are bones, and we can call this a butcher's block. A tavro garmi is a board designed for chopping meat. So that kind of vessel, divrei hakol mutar, everyone agrees, even beishamai, that it's mutar to move around. Mor says pshita, that seems obvious. Ali tanan, the Mishnah speaks about an ali, which is not a butcher's block, but it's a chopping board for grain chopping or grain crushing. So is it not Mishnah? Is it not obvious from the Mishnah that the machlokas, the controversy, is focused on the ali and not on the tavro garmi? So what do I need this? Let's say elucidation of Abaye when it seems obvious. Mahu detema. Now you'll notice there's an aleph here. This is the first of two lishonos in the Gemara. There's an eko the Amri squiggled a couple lines later, next end of next line, and a bays appears shortly thereafter. So the first version is Mahu detema hu hadin dafilu tavro garmi. Without Abaye, I would have thought that the same would apply to a tavro garmi, a butcher's block, and I would have thought that even that Beis Shammai would aser. And Rashi explains what the hava means, because it's not easy to discover that from the Gemara. Rashi says on the second line under the Gemara text, Mal detema hu adin, I would have thought that the same din applies, afilu tavrogami asri Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai would prohibit the moving of a butcher's block. Dilma boser detutulu mamlich v'lo tovar. After he moves this heavy board around, he'll change his mind and he doesn't want to cut meat anymore. V'ishtakach detorach b'chdi. And then the result of that would be that his moving around of the butcher block was for no reason. So that's an expenditure of tircha, of trouble, of energy for no reason, which is something we want to avoid on Yom Tov. So that's what I would have thought, that even a butcher's block you could not move on Yom Tov, according to Beis Shammai. The Gemara continues, V'hai dikotoni ali, and that which the Mishnah teaches specifically the case of the ali, isn't to the exclusion of tavro garmi, but rather lohodiacha koichun de beis hillel dafilu dovet shemachta le'iser nami shoru, but rather it's to show us the koyach of beis hillel, the strength, the extent to which beis hillel goes in teaching that even something which is designed for a prohibited purpose is allowed. So Abaye tells us that with regard to the Tavro Garmi, the butcher's block, even Beis Shammai is makel. There's no machlokas of concerning the Tavro Garmi. Iko Diami, another version of where another approach to the question of Pshita. Remember, after Abaye said that the machlokas is only concerning the Ali, but Tavro Garmi, everyone agrees, is Mutter. So a second reason for teaching me that, Omar Abaye, Lo Nitzrucha, that which I said, that Tavro Garmi is Mutter, according to everybody, is Afilu Tavro Garmi Chadati, even a brand new, unused Tavro Garmi, Beis Shammai will allow its movement. Mahu detema. Well, without my telling you that, I would have thought Mimlech v'lo tavar alah. Since it's brand new, maybe he'll move it, thinking that he's going to chop bones on it, and then change his mind. Kol mashmalon, Abaye is telling me that you don't have to worry about that. Even Beis Shammai says don't worry about that. The Gemara now asks, is that really so? And we have a Tat no se, a subtopic heading on the side. Tat no se, ha'im Beis Shammai choshin l'imluchi. Does Beis Shammai worry about people changing their minds? Achar shetiltel lo yishtamesh badover. After he moved an item, he'll change his mind and not use it. And as we said before, that would result in a expenditure of effort on Yom Tov for no Yom Tov purpose in the end. So we're asking now. You just got finished telling me, Abaye, concerning Beis Shammai, that they are not choshesh, they don't concern themselves with mere changes of mind. Is that really so? Beis Shammai lo chayshi l'mluchi v'hotanya. We have the following source. Notice, of course, the question lasts a number of lines. Beis Shammai Omrim, Ein Molichin Tabuch V'Sakin Eitzel Behema. We don't have a butcher carry his knife to an animal for slaughtering on Yom Tov. V'lo Behema Eitzel Tabuch V'Sakin. And we don't bring the animal over to them either. And Rashi adds, we're talking about if they were at a distance from one another, not as if they were, you know, in the same barn. But no, they're far from one another. So we're, the Beis Shammai says we don't transport either one. And Beis Hillel Omrim Molichin Ze Eitzel Ze, that you do bring one to the other. Now, why does Beis Shammai say not? Because after taking the trip from you're the butcher with your knife to the behemah, I change your mind. And next number two, Beis Shammai Omrim, Ein Molichin Tavlin Umadu Chetzel Maducha. We don't carry tavlin or spices. The moduch is a pestle and a mortar and pestle for crushing spices to the maducha, to the mortar. Velo maducha Eitzel Tavlin Umaduch. Nor do we bring the mortar to the spices and the pestle. Well, Beis Hillel Omrim Molichin Ze Eitzel Ze. Beis Hillel says there's no reason. There's no, we don't prohibit that. So what do we see? That Beis Shammai is restrictive with regard to the consideration of imluchi, of changing one's mind. The Gemara responds, and notice this is a long answer. Hachi hashta, how can you compare the cases in this Tanaic source to our din of the Tavro Garmi, the butcher's block? Bishlamo behemo, I understand in the case of carrying an animal to where the butcher is, to where the slaughterer is. Osim luchi, he'll change his mind. Omar nishba kai behemo kusha, umaisino behemo achriti dishmeno mino. Let me leave aside this animal that I just carried over. I notice it's scrawny, it's kosher, it's lean. I'm gonna bring a behemah achriti d'shmeinu mino, another animal that's fatter. So you have this element of change of mind that's present with regard to an animal, and likewise with regard to the spices and the food. Kedei ronami, with regard to preparing a dish. Also, a person can change his mind. Yomar nishbak hai kedei rabaya tavlin. You know what? I'm gonna leave aside this dish that requires spices. Umaisino achriti delo baya tavlin. I'll bring another dish, another pot of food that doesn't require spices. So then it was after the movement of the items from one place to another, there could be a change of mind. However, here in the case of the Tavro Garmi, the new butcher's block, what chashash is there? What fear is there? Mimelech v'lo tovar, but he's going to change his mind and not chop the meat. We're talking about meat that's already been slaughtered. It's meat that needs to be chopped. Kevon d'shochta l'tvira kaima, once it's been slaughtered, it's destined to be chopped. There's no changing of mind at all. That to leave meat unchopped and not used, it'll go bad. So there's not any chashash. There's no fear of the change of mind, which is something that Beis Shammai in general does concern themselves with. Not so in the case of the issue of the butcher block, even if it's a new butcher block. The Gemara continues. And on the side, we have a nosei, the topic heading, tipul b'or behemah b'yom tov, the tending to the caring of leather, of skins, that is, of behemoths on yom tov. Beis Shammai Om Ein Noses Ha'or, we said in the Mishnah, we don't carry the freshly skinned skins and place them in front of where people will trample them, for which is to the benefit of the skins, but we don't do this on Yom Tov. Tana v'shavin shemolchin olav basur litzli. There is agreement that means even Beis Shammai will agree that you can salt over it meat. Now, of course, you know that meat basically needs to have its blood removed. One is also, it's also for one to eat cooked or roasted meat with its blood still in it. Now, when you are cooking meat, so it needs to be salted in order to have the blood removed from the meat. If you are roasting meat, so the basic, the roasting, the positioning of the meat in the environment of a fire, the fire draws out the blood. However, there is a practice of salting it slightly, even before roasting. So this source is telling me that one can take meat and do a light salting of the meat over the skin. The salt that falls to the skin helps to preserve it. It's beneficial for it in its ultimate goal to be tanned. So your purpose, though, is to salt the meat. You're not trying to salt the skin per se, but the salt will fall on the skins. Omar Abaye. Now here you have a similar structure to what we saw before in Abaye's, let's say, attempt to explain the machlokas in the Mishnah, or whatever teaching there is in the Mishnah, and then the Gemara reacts, well, is this not obvious? So you're just noting the repetitive structure. So the Gemara goes on, Omar Abaye, lo shanu elo litzli, that which we are allowing you to salt meats over the fresh skins, that's only if it's a minor type salting. We were salting it for tzli, for roasting purposes. But to salt meat over the skin, and your purpose is to salt the meat for boiling, that, since it requires a large amount of salt, we do not allow that to be done over the skin on Yom Tov. The Gemara says, Pshita, litzli tnan. What is Abaye adding that I don't see from the source? The source says that the salting is only if it's for roasting. The Gemara answers, ha komash melon. What Abaye is telling me is, dafilu litzli ke'en kedera aser. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Three lines from the bottom. Ha komashlon dafilu litzli ke'en kedera aser. Hai avol likedera dekomar Abaye. When Abaye says avol likedera lo, is that phrase avol likedera is tzli ke'en kedera ka'omar. He's speaking about roasting like cooking. Kegon odom hamoleach tzli yofe yofe choroiv lemlichas basar. The shelitzorch kedera. The lo temo kol tzli shari. One should not get the impression, if I had only the Tanaic source, I would have thought that it's the method of your preparing the meat is the only thing that matters. Namely, if you are planning to roast the meat, so you can salt the meat over the fresh skins any way you like, any amount you like, because the method is of what is concerned to us. So Abai says, no, that's not the way you look at this. The word litzli isn't, the emphasis is not on the method of preparation per se, but rather it's a reference to an amount of salt. It's the amount of salt that the halacha expects you to do for tzli, which is a very small amount, that is what we are allowing. And not allowing salting only because you're planning to roast it and use a large amount of salt anyway. No, that far we do not go. That's what tzli ke'en kedera means. Tanu Rabbanan, we continue in the Gemara. Ein mochen es ha-chalovim ve'in mahabchin bohen. Chalovim are translated often as forbidden fats that are found in animals. And there are certain sections of animal fats, which include membranes also, that are allowed, and certain sections that are not allowed. And when they are usher, by the way, if there are some that are usher midorabonin and some that are usher midoraisa. If it's chaylev, it's usher midoraisa, so it's punishable by kores. So now I have a freshly slaughtered animal, and I have chaylev. Chaylev is something that is ultimately useful as a fuel for lighting candles. So how do I deal with the chalovim on Yom Tov? If it were not Yom Tov, in order to preserve them, similar to tanning, they would be salted, and that would help in their preservation. However, it's Yom Tov. So the source says, Ein molchim es chalovim, you're not to salt the chalev, ve'ein mahapchin bohen, and you don't flip them around, you don't move them around. Mishum Rabbi Yeshua Amru, Shotchon Beruach Agabi Yesedis. Rabbi Yeshua, in his name it was said that you can take these sheets of chalev and place them upon Yesedos are stakes or that might be it sound like a S-T-E-A-K, and that's obviously not the case, but it's S-T-A-K-E. Pegs, maybe is a better word, so that you can spread the sheets of chalev on pegs, and the wind will circulate around these around the chalev, and that will help preserve it. Omar Rav Matana, and we have a marking that we want to check out on the side. The topic that we're dealing with is Melichas Chalovim, the salting of Chalev, and the diamond is Ashnei Lishonos Barav Matana. There are two versions of Rav Matana in the Gemara. So, Omar Rav Matana, Halacha Karebi Yoshua, which is a ruling of leniency, where you are allowed to move the Chalev and place it on the pegs. Ika the Army, another version is Omar Rav Matana, Ein Halacha Karebi Yoshua, that we are not going to be lenient. So Bishlamo, the Gemara wants to analyze the necessity of these two rulings, or the reliability, we'll say. Bishlamo l'mandor maluch Rabbi Yeshua, according to the first approach, where Rav Matana had to teach me that the halacha follows Rabbi Yeshua, itzterich, I need that teaching. Salkadai techamino, without Rav Matana, if I were left on my own to figure out how what direction the halacha goes in, so I would have thought yochid v'rabim, when you have a controversy between an individual and a majority opinion, halacha k'rabim, the halacha would generally follow the majority opinion. And when you have a source like this, you can rest assured that the unnamed section represents the majority opinion, and Rabbi Yeshua is a minority opinion. And standard halacha procedure is that if, unless otherwise told, in such a machlokas, you would follow the rabbin. So, therefore, it's important for Rav Matana to report that in this case, we are going to follow the minority opinion. But according to the second version of Rav Matana, that the halacha shall not follow Rabbi Yeshua, Pshita, that would be an obvious ruling, Yochid v'Rabim, Halochi k'Rabim. When you have a machlokes between the Yochid, the individual, and the Rabim, the majority, you follow the majority. So what is the necessity of having Rav Matana teach me version Beis, which is obvious on its own? The Gemara answers, Mahu detemo, I would have thought, Mistaber Taimed Rabbi Yeshua, that Rabbi Yeshua's reasoning is so strong, it's so logical. The lo shorisle, if you don't allow him to place the chalovim on the pegs, mimna velo shochet, he will withhold and not slaughter in the first place. He'll figure, if I'm going to slaughter this animal, I'm going to lose all of my chalev, it'll go bad by the end of Yom Tov. So you know what, I'm not going to slaughter at all. And he won't have meat then for Yom Tov, and he's going to lose out on his Simchas Yom Tov. So the result of that thinking is to follow Rabbi Yeshua. Kol mashmalon. So Abaye Avraham Matana in version Beis is saying we're not going to look at that logic, but the halacha will not be like Rabbi Yeshua. Umay shno meor lifnei hadorson. Why there in the case of or lifnei hadorson? We know Beis Hillel allows that, and why does Beis Hillel allow placing the or in front of the freshly removed skin in front of the area that will enable it to be trampled upon and hence preserve it? Why was Beis Hillel allowing that? Because if you don't allow that, then this svara in fact applies. Mimna v'lo shochet, he won't slaughter in the first place if he knows he's going to lose his skins. So why, in the case of Or Lifnei Hadorson, Beis Hillel and the Halacha is lenient, and when it comes to the Chalovim on the Yesedos, there, even though the same consideration applies, we're not lenient. Gemara continues at the top of Amud Beis. Hosam lo mukhamil sav. In the case of the skins that you place on the floor, it's not obvious to the onlookers that you're doing it for skin preservation and tanning. Why is it not obvious? Mishum dechazi lemizga alei. It's chazi means it's fit mizga alei to recline upon it. That was the way people would eat. They would lay out mats, and the skin would serve that purpose. And hence, it's being spread on the floor. In the eyes of the public, it would have nothing to do with tanning purposes, and for trampling / tanning purposes. Hacha, in the case of the chalovim, osi lemeimar. If we allow it to be placed on the pegs, people will start to reason as follows: my time was sholi rabbonon ki hechidol lishach. Why are the rabbonon allowing me to put the chalovim on pegs? So that it doesn't go bad. This lisrach is to go rancid or spoiled. So if that is what motivates the Rabbanan to allow that, the placing on pegs, people will reason, Ma'ali l'mishtachinu, what difference does it make whether it's spreading it on pegs? Ma'ali l'min l'chinu, or salting it. And the salting of the chalovim, that would be an av malacha. So we want to keep people away from violating a Torah level prohibition. So we aser the placing of the chalovim on the pegs as well. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel Moleach Odom Kamo Chatichos Boser Bevas Achas. A person can salt a number of pieces of meat at one time, Afalpi She'enu Tzorch Elo L'Chaticho Achas, even though he needs only one piece of meat. Rashi says the Chad Tircho L'Kulu, so if you have, let us say, you have a table full of tabletop with lots of meat on it, and I stand with a large bowl of salt from above, and I turn the bowl over in one shot, and all the salt covers the meat on the table, even though all I need is one piece, what we just described would be allowed. It's one effort. Rav Ado Bar Avo Marim Umolach Garmo. Now Rav Ado goes a little bit further. Rashi says, "Marim li'achas shemolach zuloch layom." After salting one piece for eating today, Omer, the person would declare, "Chaverta areva alai." The other piece there that's over there, I would prefer that one. It's more pleasant to me. That's chaverta areva alai loch layom. I like that other piece that's near. I want to eat that. The chozer mocha, and then salt that. And he would continue doing that and end up even salting numerous pieces of meat without having, even though it's several efforts and not one effort as Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel had allowed. So this haroma is a we'll call it a legally accepted trick that is allowed. Bear in mind that we're not dealing here with an isur doraisa. We're dealing with the salting of meat and not the tanning of leathers or of chilev. Again, a Mishnah that we have seen quoted in the past: Beis Shammai Omrim Ein Misalkin Es Hatresin Biyomtov, uBeis Hillel Matirin Af LaHachzir. Beis Hillel says you can't remove the tresin, and the Gemara itself will ask what are tresin, so we'll wait for the Gemara to explain that, even though those who remember our earlier shiur, previous shiur, that in which we had discussed this, so you'll remember our explanation there. Beis Shammai says you can't remove the tresin in the first place, and Beis Hillel says not only can you remove them, but you can even put them back into where they were. The Gemara. My tresin. What are tresin? Before we go on in the Gemara, we should note on the side the topic heading. Dvarim shetiru sofon mishum tchilos. And there are examples, and you'll see a number of them in the Gemara. A number of examples of activities where we allow their end. Now, their end means what you're doing now, at the end, is not for Yom Tov purposes. But we allow that anyway. Mishum Tchilosan means because of the beginning. In other words, if I don't allow you to do whatever it is at the end, like in the case of the Mishnah, if I don't allow you to put the tracin back in their place, so the person isn't going to take it out for Yom Tov purposes even in the first place. So that if I'm not lenient to allow the non-Yom Tov purpose, I will then withhold myself and not do that which is for Yom Tov needs. That, of course, is a presentation in very general terms. Let's see how we apply it to specific examples. So, what are tresin? Omar ulo tresei chanuyos. A tris is, in effect, a type of window shutter. It's a board that is fixed into a window. And it could be also something fixed into a doorway. Rashi says, tresin dalsos pischehen. The openings, and here we're talking about the stores that sold spices, other things that could be of Yom Tov value. And we generally think of stores as being a forbidden area on Yom Tov. What is forbidden about stores is the commerce that's conducted. In other words, the exchange of money, the writing of receipts, of contracts, that's what's forbidden. But to simply take items out of a store, from the Gemara standpoint, this is something that if you're going to take something from a store for Yom Tov needs, that would be okay. Once again, we mention this quite often, especially when we learn Masechtas that deal with Halacha Lamaisa. Don't derive any practical applied halacha from Gemara markings Daf Yomi Shiurim. Our goal here is to present the Gemara and its explanation. As far as actual halachic application, you must consult with Sforim that deal with halacha, as well as authoritative legal individuals, people of rabbinic expertise. We continue in the Gemara. V'omar ula, shloisha dvarim hetiru sofa mishum tchilasan. There are three items, and the second one is going to be the tresei chanuyos, where we allow the end, because otherwise you won't even do the beginning. What are these three things? The Elohim, or lefnei adorson, the heter that Beis Hillel gives you for placing these skins in front of the area on the floor that they will be trampled. If we don't allow that, now placing the skins on the floor is not Yom Tov related. However, if a person would not be allowed to do that, he won't slaughter the animal in the first place, and then he won't have that, and which is Litzorech Yom Tov. So we allow this non-Sorech Yom Tov at the end, is so as to ensure the individual that the to motivate the individual to do the Tzorach Yom Tov at the beginning. Second example, Treise Chanuyos. We Beis Hillel in the Mishnah allows the sealing up of the store openings, even though the sealing up of the store is not Yom Tov related, but otherwise he won't set up the tresin, which was the display table. These window shutters, these boards that were placed in the openings to the stores, also served as the display tables for the spices that were being made available to the community. I don't want to use the expression that were being sold, because on Yom Tov we're not conducting sales, certainly not in an open fashion. Obviously, people who would take the spices from the stores on Yom Tov will pay for them after Yom Tov. But it's important for us to encourage the store owners to make the spices available. And how will they be encouraged if they know that at the end of the day, after people took their spices for their Yom Tov needs, they will be able to seal up their stores with the tresin once again. And number three, v'chazoras ritiyah b'mikdash. This has to do with a kohen in the Beis HaMikdash, a kohen who happened to have some type of injury that required a bandage to cover it, to protect it. Now, a Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash cannot do the Beis HaMikdash service with a bandage on his arm, on his hand, because his hand is needed to come into direct contact with whatever avoda he is doing in the Beis HaMikdash. For example, if he is carrying a bowl of blood to be sprinkled on his mizbeach, his hands have to be in direct contact with the bowl. If he is going to do a Zrikas Adam using his fingers, so he's got to have his fingers come into direct contact with the blood. There can't be a bandage over his hands that have to be in direct contact with whatever avoda he is doing. Otherwise, it is a chatzitza, an interposition. So, how do we encourage Kohanim that are in the Beis HaMikdash that might have bandages on their hand? How do we encourage them to do the avoda, to do the avoda on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, that is Yom Tov Shabbos related? So he has to know, this kohen has to know, that if he removes his bandage for a short amount of time to do the avoda, he can put it back on. Let me point out, that's a point that Rashi makes, that preparing a bandage on Shabbos or Yom Tov involves smearing it with salves, and that is an isur of memareach, of smearing stuff on and smoothing it out, which is called an isur memachik. That has to do with the actual preparation of the bandage. Here we're talking about putting the bandage that's already been prepared, putting it back on. So, in general, we don't allow that. If it were outside the context of avoda, we wouldn't allow that, because if a person does that, he might come to prepare a bandage at the outset and smear on the salves. But in the Beis HaMikdash, we allow him to take it off, to do the avoda, and put it back. Otherwise, he isn't going to take it off in the first place to do the Beis HaMikdash service. For Rachba Omar Rabbi Yehuda, this is a second approach. So when Ula presented three items, now Rachba adds Af Haposeh Chaviso Umascho Bisoso Agava Regel Ve'alibud Rabbi Yehuda V'Omar Yigmor. Now, we didn't explain anything. We just read three lines of Gemara without explanation. So in order to appreciate these halachas that Rachba introduces, the best approach is to go through the Rashi systematically on this section. The Rashi we are looking at is at the lower part of the narrow lines. Av haposech es chavisoi. Rachba mentioned 2 points. The first was opening of a barrel. Chover kishehischilim koryeno o kikro le'olei regolim. A chover is a person who's trustworthy in the realm of tumas and taras, of maintaining his food in a state of purity. So a chover who starts selling his wine or his breads to the Oile Regolim, to the pilgrims that arrive to Yerushalayim three times a year, and he provides them with wine or bread on the Borego, on the holiday. As many of you are familiar, when you go to a store and you have items on display, food items, people handle it. And here you have throngs of people converging upon the Beis HaMikdash during the Shlosh HaRegolim. So everyone is handling it. And that includes Amaratzim. Amaratzim are people that are, we'll call, commoners that are not familiar with halachas. And there is a rabbinic ruling that an amoretz that touches food items will render the food impure, will defiled. So what happens now on the holidays when everyone is there and you're and people who are the chaverim, these are people that generally speaking are protective of their food, and now everyone's handling it. So there's an interesting halacha here. By the way, the rule of tumas amoretz is itself a rabbinic rule. So the Rashi continues, the tumas amoretz boregel tohoro kol yemos regel. There is a type of suspension of the tumas amoretz when it comes to the holiday period. Uvame shenishar la'achar regel. What about the food that you have left over from that which you made available to the masses on the holiday, now it's left over and it's after the holiday. There's a controversy between these Tanoim in Maseches Chagiga and Perek Chomer Bakodesh. That's the name of the Perek. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yigmor v'im kareno lechaverim ulechol odom. You can continue selling it even to people that are chaverim and to everyone else. V'zoyer sheliga amoratz od. But be careful that from this point on, it's now after the holiday, that the amoratzim should not handle it. V'chachomim omrim lo yigmor v'o lo yim kareno oid. Do not, you cannot continue selling it and finishing it off. Mishum the nitmeis beregel b'magam oretz. The food has become defiled by contact through the amaratzim during the holiday. Unidachol yimusa regel ishtaroi shelo levaisham. Granted, there was a suspension of tumas aretz during the holiday, so as not to embarrass them, and as a result, everyone was buying the food during the holiday, even though amaratzim had touched it. But we were allowing that so as to not embarrass them. But after the holiday, retroactively, the food that is left over becomes tameh. V'ashmi'inen rachbo, and rachbo tells us, Rabbi Yehuda lo omar yigmor elo mishum tchilasan. Rabbi Yehuda's leniency of allowing it to be continued to be sold after the holiday with a status of non-defilement is allowed because the ilo sharaslei, if we don't allow that, lo posach lemikor, then the chover isn't going to open up his barrels in the first place. So the barrels, of course, become barrels of wine, and he's not going to bake loaves and make them available in the first place if he knows that that which is left over after a holiday is going to be considered defiled. So now we turn back to the Gemara, and before we actually learn the Gemara, we're going to take note of the Mivneh, the structural note on the side. Ula v'rachbo, omru hanal, that's Ula and Rachbo said the principle before of allowing things at the end so as to encourage their initial stages. Avol kol hadugmos, shalahem kvar shnuyim betanoyim. Now you'll see double underlinings in the Gemara. Those highlight the examples, the dugmos, the examples that we cited, and the triangles highlight Tanaic sources. So that everything that Ula and Rachba were telling us, we already know that from Tanaic sources. So what do I need them for? The bow tie shape that you see will introduce hachuvos, the answers. So if you scan ahead in the Gemara, just try to let your eye scan down the next 10-12 lines of Gemara. You see double underlinings. They highlight the examples that Ula and Rachba cited, and the triangle raises the question of what do I need the Amorayim to teach me that which is already taught in Tanaic sources, and the bow tie introduces the answers. So now we go on in the Gemara. Before we go on, let us read again Rachba, where Roman numeral number 2 appears in the Gemara. For Rachba Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Af Haposeh Chavito, opening of barrels, Umasl Bisoso Al Gav HaRegel, and the starting the dough. It means to prepare dough and make loaves for public Al Gav HaRegel for the holiday, for the masses coming on the Aliyas HaRegel. The Aliba, the Rabbi Yehuda, the Omar Yigmor, and Rachba's point is within the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. He's coming to explain the Tanaic position of Rabbi Yehuda, who allowed the continued sale of the wine and the loaves after the holiday being considered Tohar, provided the Amaratzim don't touch it now. That is a lenient ruling that was given by the Tana Rebbe Yehuda. So that lenient ruling concerning Posech Chavito and Masel Bisoso is also a function of Hetiru Sofon Mishum Tchilos. They allow the continued sale of it after Adi in a state of purity, because otherwise they wouldn't have started the sale during the holiday. Now the Gemara. Number one, first double underline. Orlefne Hadorson. Ula, in his Ula was Roman number one, a few lines up. His number one example of Hetirus Soifon Mishum Trilosin was the skin placed on the floor to be trampled. That was allowed because otherwise he wouldn't slaughter the animal in the first place. Tanina, that is a Mishnah. We saw that in our Mishnayos. So what do I need Ula for? Mahu detemo. I would have thought Tamayu de Beisilel, that the reason of Beisilel allowing me to place the skins on the floor is Mishum de Chozi leMizgalayo. It is because it's something fit to serve as a mat. Mizgal literally is to recline a layo upon them. And if that were the motivating factor behind Beisilel's leniency, Vafilu me erev Yom Tov Nami, even skins that were skinned from before Yom Tov, he would be allowed to place it on the floor of Lufnei Adarson on Yom Tov, because the whole consideration is it's fit to be used as a mat. Kamash Malon, Ula comes to report otherwise. The heter of the Mishnah of Or Lufnei Hadorson is Hetiru Soifon Mishum Tchiloson. It's only because it will serve to motivate people to slaughter for Yom Tov needs, Yom Tov meat purposes. And therefore, the Yom Tovin, only skins that were skinned on Yom Tov, will we allow you to place Lifnei HaDorsan, De Erev Yom Tov Lo. But skins that were from animals slaughtered from before Yom Tov, that no. If it was slaughtered before Yom Tov, you should have taken care of the skins and help preserve them from Erev Yom Tov. What are you doing this for on Yom Tov itself? So that wouldn't be allowed. So in general terms, what we see here is that as a result of Ula, the heter is limited. Without Ula, having read the Tanaic source on its own, I would have had an expanded heter. Number two. Trese Chanuyos Nami Tanino. The issue of the door shutters has also been taught in Tanaic sources. Ubeis Hillel Matirin Aflafsi. We saw this in the Mishnah, just above our most recent Mishnah. Beis Hillel allows even the putting back of the tables, i.e. shutters, into the store openings is allowed. So what do I need Ula for? Mahu de tema, without Ula, I would have thought Tamayu de Beis Hillel, that the heter, the leniency of Beis Hillel, Mishum de ein binyan bekelim vein stira bekelim vafilu de botim nami. And when it comes to vessels, the concept of construction and destruction doesn't apply. On Shabbos, one of the 39 cardinal or chief prohibited activities is bone. Bone is construction. So one might have thought that this that the issue of construction has no application to vessels. And if that be the case, then even trese botim, even house, non-store shutters would be allowed, because they're also in the realm of kelim, of vessels. Komash malon, so Ula is telling me, hetiru sofen mishon tchilosan, that the whole heter of this, in other words, even if you tell me, ein binyan bekelim, ein stir bekelim, but that's not the basis of the heter over here. The heter over here is only to encourage the vendors to make their products available to the masses. And hence, only the chanuyos, the botim lo, but house shutters would not be allowed to be removed, and certainly not to be placed back. Chazoras, let's just, the last point is, the house shutters certainly were not going to allow to be placed back. We're not, because the ruling of Hetiru Sofon, Mishum Tchilosan, applies only when the Tchilo is a Yom Tov necessity. Now, Rashi, if you look in the Rashi, he refines this in the middle of the wide lines. In our marked Gemara, so you can see, we have a squiggle underline in the middle of the wide lines of Rashi under the Gemara. Komashmal and Ula, the Afagavdi and Binyan Ustir became, even though in principle the issue of construction and destruction does not apply to vessels, Koasri Le Beis Hillel Midrabbanan, Beis Hillel still on a rabbinic level would prohibit the issue of shutters on Yom Tov rabbinically. Ilav mishum chilason dechanuyo shein tzorchei rabbah. If not for the store factor to make the goods available to the masses, then in yes that we allow. Aval treisei klei habayis lo, but shutters of house vessels that would not be allowed. So that you can have a large closet, a large cupboard, which has a door, and the door is something that's useful for, if you remove the door of the large cupboard, it can also serve as a table. So in the case of store cupboards, we will allow that, because of the concept of Ein Binyan Vein Stira B'Kelim. However, with regard to the house cupboards, no, we don't allow that rabbinically. Even though, as we said, even though on a Torah level, the concept of binyan and stir doesn't apply to vessels, as is the case with the cupboards that we just mentioned. We continue in the Gemara. Chazoras retia b'mikdash. Nami tanina. What do I need Ula to tell me about the permission of putting back a bandage on a Kohen's injured hand, when in fact that information is taught in a Tanaic source, and it says Machzirin Ritiya b'Mikdash Avelo b'Medina, a Ritiya, the bandage is allowed to be returned to its original place on the injury in the Beis HaMikdash, and not so outside the Beis HaMikdash. The Medina is the area outside the Beis HaMikdash. So what do I need Ula to tell me that which you see in a Tanaic source? Answer, Mahu de Tema. Without Ula, I might have thought, Taimo mai, Mishum de Ein Shivus b'Mikdash. I might have thought, without Ula's explanation of Hetiru Sofon Mishum Chilasan, I would have thought that we're basing the Heter on another principle, and that is that Ein Shivus, rabbinic prohibitions, do not apply in the Beis HaMikdash. There is such a concept, but it is qualified. But I would have thought that that's what is in operation here. Ein shvus b'mikdash afilu kohen delav baravodahu. Even a kohen that is not in service. He happens to be located in the Beis HaMikdash, but he's not serving in the Beis HaMikdash. So I would have thought it's a halacha, chazoras retias, halacha dependent on the location of the Kohen and not the role of the Kohen. Komash Malon Ula tells me to Sofa Mishum Chilasan that Chazoras Ritiya, the restoration of the bandage to its original location on his body, is only because otherwise he won't start the Avoda by removing it in the first place. And as a result of that, we know it's a limited leniency, debar avoda in, someone who is capable of doing avoda, for him we allow this, the lav bar avoda, lo, someone who is not in the position to do avoda, we will not allow this. And even though you're in the Beis HaMikdash, and even though there is a principle, ein shvus b'mikdash, it's not a blanket heter, across the boards leniency, but you can see it's more focused or limited to a bar avoda. And that I know only as a result of Ula. And now we continue with the next example, but this is from Rachba. Posech es chavito. We mentioned Rabbi Yehuda the Tana allowing the continued sale of the wine after the holiday, becheskes taras, as if it were tohor. Even though during the holiday the Amaratzim were there and handling it. Well, that Nami Tanino, I know that without Rachba telling me this. I know from a Tanaic source that it says, Haposech es chavito masubi sos al gafu regel, someone who opens a barrel and starts selling his dough on the holiday for the holiday. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yigmar, and we dashed down the line. This is the main point here. Rabbi Yehuda says, and we see this in a Tanaic source, you can continue the sale after the holiday. The Chacham Omer Lo Yigmar, and the Chacham say no. After the holiday, it's considered defiled, and you can't sell it as tohor food anymore. So the question is, what do I need Rachba for when the information is in this Tanaic source? Answer, Mahu Detema. Without Rachba, I would have thought, Tumas Amoretz Beregel, Kitaro Shavua Rabbonon, that Tuma of an Amoretz, when it comes to the holidays, is considered non-existent. It's considered like Tor. The Afagav, the Lohishil, Nami, and even foods, say barrels of wine, that you didn't start selling on the holiday. Even if you didn't start selling them, it would be considered tohor. Komash Malon, so Rachba is telling me, Hatiru Sofen Mishum Trilosan, that the suspension of the Tumas Amaretz on the holiday is only because of the fact that you started selling it. Hischil in, you started to sell it on the holiday, and only on the holiday. Lo hischil, lo. But if you didn't start selling it on the holiday, just because it was touched on the holiday, doesn't mean it's guaranteed to be considered tohar. Now we take a look at the Rashi. Rashi in the wide lines. Let's say six lines from the end. Kitara Shavura Bonan. Das Muhu Akro Kiisha Chod Chavirim. There's a posuk that can be the basis of saying that the Tara of that we assign to Amratzim during the holiday is considered, you know, that the, let's say, the suspension of the Tumah of Amratz on the holiday is based on this posuk, that everyone is considered Chavirim. Chavirim are people that are trustworthy. The Taimid Rebuta Mishum Dolo Hazra Chayla. And Rabbi Huda's heter is simply that the tomb of Amoretz doesn't get resuscitated after the holiday because it had a status of Tara during the holiday. Even if he didn't start selling the wine on the holiday, and Amoretz happened to touch the barrels of wine that you had that you hadn't sold. And even under those circumstances, I would have thought Rabbi Yehuda declares it tohar. Rachba tells me no. It's only because you are making the barrels available for sale do we suspend the Tumas Amaratzim. But if you had, let's say, personal barrels of wine that you weren't selling, you didn't plan to sell at all on the holiday, and Amaratzim happened to touch it during the holiday, they would be considered Tomei, certainly considered Tomei after the holiday. And it's even according to Rabbi Yehuda. We continue in the Gemara. The Ula, my time alo Omar ha. Why did Ula not mention, he mentioned three examples of Hitiru Sofa Mishum Chilosan. Why did he not mention the Maschil, the Poseh Chavito Maschil Misosu that Rachba mentioned? Answer, Beplukto lo Komairi. Ula did not want to state examples that are controversial. In the examples of the Poseh Chavito Maschil Misosu, we saw only the Tana Rabbi Yehuda allows that. Allows it to begin to its continued sale after a holiday with a tohor status. The Rabbana disagreed. So Ula didn't want to teach things that were controversial. Gemara asks, Hanoch Nami Plukto Ninu, the three examples that Ula taught are also controversial. There's a machlokas in each one of those cases between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai did not allow the leniencies that Ula featured. The Gemara responds, Beis Shammai b'mokom Beis Hillel eino Mishnah. An argument of Beis Shammai against Beis Hillel is considered a non-factor. Eino Mishnah is it's not a teaching. It's not a Mishnah. It's like it's ke'ilu. It's in your mind's eye as if it's non-existent issue. So that it's not a, the fact that Beis Shammai is challenging Beis Hillel is not considered a serious challenge, whereas the Chachomim who challenge Rabbi Yehuda, that is a serious challenge. That's a controversy. Whereas Machlokas Beis Shammai against Beis Hillel, since we know that the Halacha inevitably follows Beis Hillel, we say Ula was not fazed by Beis Shammai's disagreement. He wasn't fazed by that. That didn't stop Ula from teaching those his cases. The Gemara continues, Masnisen Delo Ki Hai Tano. Our Mishnah that mentioned that the removal of the cupboard doors. That our Mishnah said that even the basic removal is a machlokes, the following Tanaic source teaches otherwise. Before we continue, just by way of general introduction to the next section of Gemara, on the side, the Nosei, Din Hachzoras Tresim, the restoring, the replacement of the doors onto the cupboard, is talui im yesh tsir o lo. It's dependent on whether or not there is a hinge or not. And when we speak about hinges in the Gemara, you have to imagine a door with two pins that protrude from the top and the bottom of the door, and these pins are inserted into holes that are in the doorway itself. Now, these pins could appear close to the edge of the door, and sometimes they appear in the middle of the door. So now we continue in the Gemara. Masnisen delo ki haitana. Our Mishnah, which had mentioned that the removal of the doors itself is controversial, machlokas beis shammai beis hillel, that approach is not like that which is taught in this source. Desanya, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Moedim Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai concedes to Beis Hillel. Shemesalkin Esatresin B'Yom Tov. I said concedes to, or you could say more accurately that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel never argued about the removal of Tresin on Yom Tov. Lo Nechleku Elo Lahachzir. The Machlokas concerns only the restoring of them, the returning of the door to its place. She Beis Shammai Omrim Ein Machzirin uBeis Hillel Omrim Af Machzirin. Beis Shammai says you cannot restore them, you can't put them back into the doorway. And Beis Hillel says you can. B'Med V'Amurim, when is there a machlokas? B'Shiyesh Lohen Tzir, when the door has a hinge. Aval Ein Lohen Tzir, if the door does not have a hinge, Divrei Hakol Mutter, then even Beis Shammai concedes, everyone agrees, you can put the door back into its place. The Hotanya, do we not have another source that says, B'Med V'Amurim, when is there a machlokas? B'Shein Lohen Tzir. In other words, in the absence of a tzir, there is a machlokas. Not like you just talked before, in the absence of tzir, everyone agrees it's mutter. Not so. If there's no tzir, then there is a machlokas, and only Beis Hillel allows. Aval yesh lehen tzir, if the door has hinges, divrei hakol aser, even Beis Hillel agrees, it is aser to put the door back. Omar Abaye. So Abaye straightens everything out. There is no contradiction between these sources. B'shiyesh lehentzir min atzad. If you're talking about a door that has the hinge of the door is by the edge, close to the edge, as opposed to the middle, that's called min atzad. So everyone agrees, even Beis Hillel agrees, it's also to put it back into its spot. Ein lohem tzir kol ikur, if it's just a plank that fits into the doorway and it doesn't have a hinge whatsoever, divrei hakol mutter, everyone agrees, even Beis Shammai agrees, it's mutter to put it back. Ki pligi, the machloikas arises b'shiyesh lohem tzir b'emtza, when the hinge of the door is in the middle of the door. We continue at the top of Yud Beis Amud Aleph. More Savar Gazrino and Sir Bam Tzalotu Tzir Menatzad. The Shammite will tell you, do not put back a door that has hinge in middle, because if we allow that, you're going to come to put back door that has hinge on the side. Umar Savar Beis Hillel, who is lenient, lo Gazrinon. There we don't impose a restriction. We take a look at the Rashi at the top of Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Umar Savar, in the middle of the line, Beis Hillel, that's the second Mor Savar, says Lo Gazrinan, Vahanach Masnisa Lo Ifluk. The Tanaic sources we saw on the bottom of Omid Beis, of Yud Alpha Beis, they are not at odds with one another. Elomor Ashmin Unchad, Omor Ashmin Unchad, Velo Pligi. One source teaches one kind of door, and the other source teaches the other kind of door, and there's no controversy. Masnisa Kamaisa, the first source, Hochi Komar, Bamed Vamurim, when do Beis Sham Beis Hillel argue? B'sheish lehem tzir be'emtza. Avol ein lehem tzir kol ikr, divrei kol mutar. If there's no tzir at all, everyone agrees it's mutar. The Tana Basra, the second source, Hochi Komar, Bamed Vamurim denechliku. When is it that there is a machlokis? B'shein lehem tzir menatzad, when there is no hinge at the edge, but there is a hinge in the middle. If you just like we said in the first source, that if there's a hinge in the middle, that's where there's a machlokes. Avol b'sheish lehem tzir menatzad, but if there is a hinge from the at the edge of the door, then divrei hakol usur, everyone will agree that it is forbidden. Even Beis Hillel agrees it's forbidden to put it back into its original location. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you are interested in being in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.